Good morning. This must be Tuesday. And there you are. God bless you today. This is George Watkins on our morning schedule of talking about God and his stuff. Well, I want to tell you how much I appreciate you all. I met some new folks this weekend. I was out in the Longview Rainier area. And when they come and say, I see you in the morning, it does something to my faith. So thank you for that. And I want to thank you for your prayers, your encouragement, and your kind words that do bring courage to go forward. So God bless you for that. Get your cup out, coffee or tea, and we will dig into some thoughts on God being a collector of lost things. We'll talk about that just a little bit today. There's a panic that comes to us when we lose something. Now, we all have a system of sorts to keep things organized. If you don't have a system, men, get a wife that does, because if you don't have that, you're really in trouble, because that's what I have, is a wife that has a system to keep me from getting lost in the house. Well, we start off with a key rack next to the door. And everything that needs a key outside, all the automobiles, there they hang. And if we don't put them back, they can get lost. I came home a few years ago. Now, our house isn't all that big. Drove home and lost my keys in the house. And because I have not done diligent searching, that means room by room, box by box, those keys are still in the house somewhere. I had to get a new set. All right. That's not God. I want to talk to you about recovery. Now, recovery comes in the smallest way and the largest way. Let's start off in Luke 15 with the smallest way. The smallest way is a coin. I don't know if you've ever tried this. It's kind of an interesting habit I have. How much did something cost in 1979, or when we moved to Mount Vernon, or when we got married, or when I was 18? How much did my first car cost compared to today? Kind of blend your mind a little bit so it balances out value. I spent so much on my wife's ring when we got married. Seemed like such a little bit now, but when you figure it up, it wasn't all that bad in today's value. All right, enough of that. But the coin. A coin can be very valuable if it's in the right age of time. For instance, my mother tells me when she couldn't afford a penny postcard to send home a greeting from Texas to her mother. After she was married, they went to Texas, opened their first church. Now, that's a valuable coin. A penny for us now has not enough value to pick up off a street. Unless you're like me, you're looking for another word from God. You heard me talk about that a few weeks ago. All right. So the lost coin. But there's something interesting about each of these stories. Now, Jesus told these parables and these story forms in a setting in Matthew or Luke 15, rather. And in them, he's not just talking about you and I losing something. He's really talking about the big picture of God recovering the earth, the world, the people, and his children. Everything Jesus taught us and talked about and preached about had to do with the recovery of the world, the recovery of God's stuff back to his self. That's you and I. That's everything he created. So the coin has a small presence. And it says here that she lights a candle. If a woman loses a coin, she lights a candle and sweeps the entire house. Now, the light of the world comes, Jesus Christ, lights the candle. I love that analogy. Isn't that good? The light comes to the world. And then he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. That's a sweep. When you have that kind of army going out, they're sweeping good. Well, I know it's a little simplistic, perhaps, but I want you to see the details of a God who is in the business of lost things. He knows how to get them back. Hallelujah. We had a man in our church years ago who at one point in his life, before he met Christ, was a recoverer, a repossessor, and a bounty hunter of sorts. He'd go after people, he'd go after cars, and so forth. Told some scary stories, going in and capturing and busting down doors. Ooh, a recovery man. Well, God's a recoverer, but he's not going to bust your door down so much. He's going to get you home in several stages. Now, look at this. First one, the small coin, is that the light came, she lit a light, and she swept the house. Jesus Christ is the light of the world. And Matthew 4 says, those that sat in darkness saw a great light. Boom! The glory of God was exposed and exploded into the world where Jesus entered into. Okay. The second one is in Luke 4, the lost sheep. Now, the lost sheep is a familiar one to us who are church people, been in Sunday school or church, talks about the lost sheep. But the lost sheep has an interesting statement in it. It says he goes after it until he finds it. Now, think about this. Think about the fact that the scripture says he would all men be saved and come into the knowledge of the truth. I get a little weary. That's a gentle way to say it sometimes. I get a little weary of percentages in the preaching and the teaching. Well, you know, there's a narrow way and a broad way. And few there be that find it. Then they emphasize the few there be that find it. So we have these little, you know, scraggly people making it to heaven, and a whole crowd of ugly sinners swept off into hell to burn forever in torment. That's the theology and the teaching that is pumped into the blood vein of the Christian. And so we've got this mentality that God's not really good at recovering things. Now look, it was gone, it was lost or separated. That's the term of lost. When Adam stepped into his rebellion and followed out his desire to eat the fruit or whatever it was, fruit of the tree. It wasn't an apple, but that's what they teach us. It separated from God, and he was excommunicated from the garden. He was driven out of the garden. He was turned out of the garden because of everything in the garden repelled him. You imagine having a stomach ache, and your stomach repels the thing that's aching you. So what happens? You get thrown out. He was tossed out of the garden because he was the agitator. He was the one that was out of sync, out of tune, out of vibration, out of frequency, and he was out. I think you got it. So separation came. And God promised in the first chapters of Genesis that it was coming back, and he said that there would be a crushing of the head of the serpent, you know, Satan and the enemy, and there would be recovery. Now, when God talks, when God says something, it comes to pass. Comes to pass if it takes some time to gel, to germinate, to for the plant to grow, for the harvest to come. It will come because God will have his way. It's not going to happen. It will not happen that Satan wins. It's not in the cards, as they say, not a very spiritual analogy, but it's not there that God will lose. He will recover all. He will have it home again. Matter of fact, Ecclesiastes tells us that the spirit of man goes back to the Creator. You figure that one out. That's a good one. I love that one. All right. So he goes after it until he finds it. You cannot hide from God, and he will send the hounds of heaven, as the old preacher used to say all the time. The hounds of heaven. I guess that he was referring to the angels of the Lord that go out to minister to those who are heirs of salvation. Now, that's not just the four square, the Pentecostals and the Assembly of God and the Baptists and the Lutherans and all the other ones that believe in Christ. No. That was people, mankind, men and women. They are the heir of salvation. Every breathing person on earth is an heir of salvation. So what does it say? He sends the hounds of heaven. He sends the angels out and brings them back to himself. I just heard a testimony. I think I mentioned it a day or two ago of a man from Iran, how God brought him in step by step by step until he just fell into the fruit basket off the tree, ripe to pick. How does that happen? Because the hounds of heaven, the angels of God, are out there, and he will have his way. Glory to God. Now, that doesn't do away with that, going to all the world and preach. Doesn't do away with our part in broadcasting and speaking and announcing. Come on. Your way has been paid. Get on the boat. We're shoving off here, and you got a ticket. Jesus paid for it. No. We keep preaching the gospel. Don't you lay back and say, well, God's done it, so we do nothing. Oh, my. The lost coin, the lost sheep. And in Luke 11, one of our favorites we talk about is the lost son. The lost son. Now, notice about the lost son. It's an interesting tagline there. He prepared all. Everything was prepared. And he waited patiently because he knew the son was coming home. It just was a matter of time and a matter of when. He was waiting there. He wasn't pacing, kicking rocks, spitting in the air, wringing his hands. He waited patiently. But everything was prepared. There was a party ready to go. There was a calf. A fatted calf ready to, it was there. It was all there. He had the ring. He had the robe. He had the shoes. He didn't have to go far. It was there waiting for this to happen. That is the power and the promise and the skill of our Father. He's in the recovery business. He knows how to collect lost things. Isn't that something? Well, you got something lost, got some lost kids, got some lost time, money, got some lost life. What did the Bible say about the thing the worm has eaten, the cankerworm, the locust? He said he would return it to you, and whatever the devil stole, seven times bigger comes back. Whoa. You talk about putting the arm on the devil. Okay, devil, you stole that. I get seven times back. Call it in. Put the hounds of heaven to work. Put the angels to work. Send them out to recover your lost stuff because God loves to collect lost things. Start it off with the first promise. I'm going to get this world back, and to show you that, I'm going to give you some signs There'll be some dealing with the, you know, the women's birth, and there'll be a crushing of the head. He's prophesying about Christ. Amen. Wow. I'm encouraged. Now, John 3:16 is the foundational stone, scripture stone for all this. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Don't do the percentage game about heaven and hell. Well, you know, there's just a few of us four no more. Come on. Don't do that. God said, the world coming in. I'm believing for it. Now, am I making a doctrine out of every person getting saved and the devil, even the devil? God hadn't said, what's the limits? He said, go preach the gospel. They that believe shall be saved. I'm not going to put percentages on it. I'm not going to talk about the narrow way. And the broad way, well, you know, the broad way is the big lights and sin and darkness. Don't diminish the power of the cross. Don't diminish the power of God's talent and promise to bring them home. Your children, your loved ones, your relationships, even in your own life, you've lost peace. Maybe your gifts have not been exercised. You think you lost them. Call them home. God loves to bring home lost stuff. Oh my. Isn't that great? So Matthew 11:28 says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. So he's calling us in. He's calling us home. In the old Western movies, I have to admit, I haven't heard this very often. They had the ringer, you know, what they call that when they'd clank that thing? All the cowhands would come in and the farmhands, the brothers and sisters get off the tractor. It's dinner time. God's clanking that thing. That's the gospel message. And he's calling it. Matthew 10:6, he talked about he had come for the lost tribe of Israel. He says, I'm come for the lost tribe of Israel. I read that today as I was preparing. I said, whoa, Jesus, you cheated. Oh, that's a hard word. I don't mean to say he was a cheat, but he went over the line. He drew out of the box a couple of times, didn't he? Woman by the well wasn't a lost sheep, and he talked to her about the kingdom. There's two or three others. I mean, the Roman centurion, how about the man next to him on the cross? I guess he may have been a Jew, but I tell you, God's bigger than anything we could ever imagine. All right, well, coffee's done, and I'm done. Love you guys. This is a great Tuesday. This is the best Tuesday of your life. This is going to be the greatest day you've ever lived. I want you to get out there and step out there in faith. And you watch God open doors for you. You watch the glory of God come into your every move. Just send those angels ahead of you to prepare the way. And you watch it happen. Praise God. Thank you for your good support in prayer, comments, subscriptions to, to YouTube and so forth. Give me a thumbs up. Share this with someone. And thank you for your giving. It's a big, big help for us as we move around and do things for the Lord. God bless you. We will see you tomorrow. And until then, be brave, be bold.